Welcome to Wellness and Dentistry. I am one of your hosts, Dr. Kyle Stanley. I'm a dentist, a tech entrepreneur, a speaker, and a dental researcher. I'm here with my co-host, Dr. Martin Mendelson. He is a disabled dentist, a coach, a speaker, a thought leader, and together we've helped thousands of dental professionals pursue wellness in dentistry. And today, expect to learn why expectations are so important, not only setting expectations with your patients, but also expectations with your team, with your family, with your neighbors, with people on the streets, so with people that you're on the phone with. This is going to be a really, really great episode. So make sure to join us. Martin, what should they do in November to hang out with us?
I wasn't expecting this, but I know the answer to this. No, Kyle and I are going to be live and in person in Irvine, California for what we call Lightside Live. So it's an opportunity to hang out with us and 25 to 30 of your colleagues. It's 30 people maximum to talk about, frankly, the subject matter that we talk about on this podcast: burnout, mental wellness, how to have crucial conversations when things get dicey, all of those critical life skills and practice skills that really help you sleep better at night. We'll talk about sleep too. To just craft and navigate a different tomorrow. And you know, for those that are kind of interested, just go to the website and you can see the video testimonials from the people that have joined us before. It's super fun, super engaging, and I know you won't be disappointed. So
Yeah, so
November
just go to
1st and 2nd.
lightsidedentistry.com and click on Lightside Live. You'll see all the info there. You do get CE credits for those of you that just like to take courses to get CE credits. We encourage that because we know you'll come away with so much more than just CE credits in this course. So, expectations for dental professionals in and out of their practices. Why is this so important?
It's important everywhere in our lives. And this is one of the reasons why I love this topic, because we can talk about this from a frame or a perspective of dental practice, but the truth of the matter is it impacts your entire life. And so you have team members that get disgruntled because all of a sudden they come to you and they're, I'll put this in air quotes, complaining that I do everything around here when there weren't even job expectations in place. There wasn't a job description in place. Well, you know, if you don't know what's expected of you, and then you're doing what you believe is above and beyond, if we never had a conversation to begin with, well, we have nothing to go back to, right? So I think that's one example of expectations. It's just simple job descriptions for our team members, right?
I love that. I love that. And this brings me back to something that you and I have talked about before, setting expectations with team members, especially new team members.
Oh,
So
yeah.
I was messaged by a dental assistant, and she was telling me on Instagram that it's so overwhelming to come into a new practice where, she already knows how to take radiographs, she already knows how to see the patient, she knows how to assist a doctor, but maybe not the specific instruments that this doctor is using, or this specific x-ray head that she's never used before, or this practice management system. I mean, the practice management system can be really overwhelming for someone new. It takes us multiple months. And so what I like to talk to other dentists about is setting the expectation for a new staff member. Okay. So new staff member comes in, let's call her Jenny or John. And you say, Jenny, by the end of this week, your first week, I would like for you to have mastered taking radiographs with our system. Okay, week one. Now, that doesn't mean that's all she's focusing on. She's still going to be assisting, she's still going to be seating patients, doing sterilization, cleaning, blah, blah, blah. But by the end of that week, the doctor would like for him or her to have gotten use and ask any questions they need to ask. How do I put this in the FMX format? Or when I'm flipping the sensor, what is the best way to do this? And have that done. And then you say, by the end of week two, I would like for you to be able to schedule a recall appointment for a patient. Okay. By the end of month one, I would like for you to be able to, whatever. But you're setting that expectation. And I think why this helps is people know what they have to hit. They know if they hit it or not,
Absolutely.
and they don't feel bad for not learning how to take an x-ray in a day.
Absolutely. I have a really great story that I even forgot to share with you in our pre-record chat. So at Spear back in the day, we had this thing called the master's program where we work with specialists to better the referral relationship. And my dear friend Amy Fletcher gets a call from this professional relationship director from this one practice. And this we call PRD was like, oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I don't remember the exact number, like 18 practices this week. It was a large number. I don't think that was the number. And Amy was like, that's great. What was the results? Oh my gosh, we're following up. We're doing blah, 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 blah. I'm not exaggerating. 10 minutes later, she gets a call from the doctor. I think I need to fire my PRD because they're not doing enough. I swear, this is a true story. And Amy's like, okay. And so she's sitting there thinking, wait a minute, I just heard how excited the PRD is. And so Amy, rightfully so, said, well, let me ask you something. What's your expectation about how many she should visit? And what kind of communication have you had relative to this? So expectation is everything. And the more practices I interact with, the more I see that many of us do not have this stuff in writing, because oftentimes it's felt that it's a large burden to actually put it all in writing, and they don't, quote, have the time. And so what I would say to that is, yes, it will take some time. However, what's the cost-benefit ratio? And maybe, just maybe, we could engage our current team to create some ownership around what it is it that is the totality of your position. What do you feel is part of your job? What do you feel isn't part of your job? What a wonderful discussion to have, right? To kind of level set. And then you have them help you co-create it. One of my clients did this exact exercise. He empowered the team to do it. They all got really excited about doing it. Now all of a sudden, you have something in writing, it takes some editing, but big deal, that you can use now, and then you just edit as you need versus feeling burdened that you don't have anything to begin with, right? So
Yeah,
that's
this is
another
something
idea.
that I had learned from Scott Luna when I first got out of school talking about practice management was take every it, this does take time, so don't get me wrong, there is
Oh, yeah.
some time into this and effort. Take everything that has to be done in your dental practice, everything, cleaning the floors, bagging the instruments, seating a patient, taking a radiograph, turning on the compressor. I mean, literally everything that needs to be done, and make an Excel file, and then next to it put who should do it. So, and this is not a person, this is a
Position.
position. Yes. So does the assistant do it? Does the front office do it? Does the lead assistant do it? Does the doctor do it? Whoever. And then next to it, put the duration. Is it twice a day, once a week, once a month, once a year? And then you can make these checklists that last for a month or 6 months, even depending on how many they have. And so every single day, people know what they have to do.
I
And
love
they
it.
go through and they check it off and they say, okay, yes, I turned on the compressor. Okay, I'm about to leave. What is my end of the day checklist? Turn off the compressor, turn off the lights, make sure the sterilizer is on so that it can go overnight, lock the door. I mean, all of these little things. And then if something doesn't get done, it's very easy to say, listen, John, you knew that at the end of the day, you're the one that turns off the compressor. It was left on all night. There's no question, right?
Absolutely.
And in this case, John should say, you're right, Doc. I should have done that. I forgot to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And because you've communicated ahead of time. And so two things come to my mind as you were talking. Number one, I could just feel some of our listeners who have none of this in place, freaking out, being like, I don't have the time to do this. But here's my thought. And this is what I talk about all the time in my lectures about the power of compound time. No one says you have to find 3, 4 hours to sit down and do this. But what if you took 10 minutes 4 days a week? That's 40 minutes a week. By the time the month is over, now you've just spent 160 minutes. That's over 2 hours of time by spending, 10 to 15 minutes in a chunk. And all of a sudden, you turn around and in a quarter, 3 months, wow, it's now done versus hoping, because that's not a plan, that it will actually get done. The other thing that I was thinking as you were talking about the checklist thing, I've heard many, many times, well, isn't that too onerous? Do we really need it? Et cetera, et cetera. You know what? If it's good enough for the OR, if it's good enough for the cockpit, it's good enough for us.
Yeah.
And so why do they have checklists? So that they don't forget everything. For
Yeah.
that book, The Checklist Manifesto, that talks about the reduction in mortality by OR simply instituting a simple checklist is, in my humble opinion, all the evidence you need, right? So
Yeah. And the other thing is, if you've had a team with you that's been there for, let's say, at least a year, it's very easy. You go to them and have them start creating it, and you can just edit it. Say, hey, what are some of your daily tasks and how often do you do them? And you just write them down and you can just be the one that organizes it.
absolutely. Absolutely. And make a game out of it. Like, okay, we're going to do this each week. And, if we do, we're going to, go out for happy hour. We're going to, whatever your team likes, we're going to bring pizza in or donuts or whatever. Like, make it fun and gamify it, right? Again, this isn't reinventing the wheel. I'm on, what is it, day 451 of Duolingo, because they gamify it, and I have friends, and we're competing, and there's rewards and badges, and it's so simple, right? You could even argue it's a little silly, but this suckered me into 451 days, so just
Okay,
is
so
what it is.
let's stay on the staff
Yes.
discussion, and then we'll go to
Yep.
patients, and then maybe we'll
Yep.
go to outside of the
Yep.
practice towards the end. How else are we setting expectations with staff members?
So, I mean, there's all kinds of things. There's standard operating procedures. There are ways we talk to our patients, expectations relative to that. As I often say, people do the best they can with the skills they have at the time. We were on the Lightside Club earlier today, because we meet, a couple times a month, and one of the doctors brought up the fact that they have a relatively new assistant, and the individual was kind of gruff the way they said stuff. Well, and so she was addressing it, and that's great. And so when it comes to even verbal skills, what conversations have we had in terms of expectations on what is it are we going to say? And have we sat down and had conversations about those expectations? And there's lots of resources out there, like you could use Spear's patient education videos. There's Casey. There's all kinds of different things that you can use to level set to talk about it. And so setting expectation is standard operating procedures. It's verbal skills. It's how we answer the phone. Like, if we haven't talked about what our expectations are, then how are we going to know what that is? Like,
And we can't really get mad at them
no,
if we
no,
haven't set the expectation.
nope.
Like, I remember, I think it was at my practice where, you had a patient, or sorry, there was a staff member that kind of waited in the hallway and kind of shook their hands and like tried to get my attention while I was working on a patient, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know what it was. Someone was on the phone for me, or they really needed an answer. And we had to say, listen, if you need my attention, there is a post-it.
Yep.
You can talk to the assistant that then he or she will be able to know when it's a good time to say, hey, doctor, it's just like how you don't want your assistant to come into your room and say, hey, doctor, there's something happening in the other chair.
Yeah.
We really need you right now. No, what it should be is, Dr. Stanley, can I talk to you in the hallway? And then
100%.
you go in and you can have whatever conversation you
Yeah.
want so that you're not
Yeah.
burdening the other patient as well. But these little things, if you don't tell your team members like this, they're just going to do the best with what they have at the time, right? The skills they have at the
100%.
time.
100%. And even going to the sticky note protocol, I know practices that have just laminated cards.
Oh,
And
that's
so
nice.
it's a laminated card relative to we need you urgently versus we need you to talk about something later. You're needed in hygiene, those kind of things. And I know,
Yeah.
like, one of my clients, we had a whole discussion around expectations around when they come to let the doctor know.
Yeah.
And so we had this whole conversation about when does it make the most sense? Is it a burden for the hygienist to get up? And basically the conversation kind of turned around to, well, it's when the practice needs the hygienist to get up and come over to the doctor and let the doctor know there was a slight inconvenience relative to their schedule, how, or their, let me call it their flow. However, we all landed on the fact that Although it's a minor interruption to their flow at that moment, it's more of a major disruption if they waited till the end, then let the doctor know, then all of a sudden they're running behind.
Yes.
And so it ended up being kind of like a risk-benefit ratio conversation that by the end of it, everybody felt great about. And now we have an understanding of when the hygienist is going to come to notify the doctor, why, blah, 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 blah. And so I think that's another really good example of setting the expectation ahead of time. Right.
Yep. Okay. So we've talked about, shortly about talking with team members.
Yep.
Let's switch over to patients because I think this is really, really, really important. And I have made every mistake you could possibly make with setting expectations or lack thereof with patients.
Yeah.
And so, dentistry can be unpredictable.
Mm-hmm.
It can be uncomfortable. It can be expensive. It's not generally people's favorite place of to spend their time.
Sure. Right?
Let's be honest with that. But if we can make things more predictable for them, it's going to make their experience better.
Mm-hmm.
And I think where a lot of problems came in my clinical practice, and even most of it wasn't my clinical practice, it was the communication around my clinical practice. I learned how little expectations I was giving people.
Yeah.
So let me give you an example. There's an example of one of my patients, really, really nice lady. We were extracting a lateral incisor that had a root fracture. It had periaortic lucency. It was unsavable. And we were going to attempt to place the implant immediately. Okay. And then we were going to attempt to place the provisional immediately.
Mm-hmm.
And over time, we were going to, let it heal, do a final restoration. So what I didn't know and when I didn't set the expectation was that weekend, she had a wedding to go to.
Oh.
And so I said, we're going to extract the tooth. We're going to place the implant. We're going to put a tooth on it. And you're going to leave with a tooth, which sounds great if it happened, right?
Yes.
Now, in this specific case, I placed the implant, but I didn't get enough primary stability in order to place the provisional on the implant. So she left with a tooth, but it was a flipper.
Yeah.
Which in my mind was okay because she had a tooth.
Sure.
I didn't know she was going to be seeing all of her neighbors and all of her friends and all of her relatives, and talking with a flipper on made her talk weird and she was uncomfortable. And she came back and she was really unhappy with me. And what I had to realize is I wasn't setting the expectation right.
Yeah.
What I should have said was, I'm going to attempt to take the tooth out. If the tooth comes out okay, I'm going to attempt to place the implant. If the implant is stable, I'm going to attempt to place a provisional on top of this.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I can guarantee you is that you're going to leave with the tooth. The tooth may be attached to the implant. It may be attached to the adjacent teeth. It may be a suck down tray. It may be a flipper. You will have a tooth. That's what I can guarantee.
Yes.
All the other things I don't know until we get in there. And I had to learn from this mistake to where I got to a point where now I'm very much setting that expectation. Exactly what I was saying. Attempt. And if...
Yes.
Kind of words like try it. So for example, in my practice, when I was still practicing a lot, was when we take a final impression for something, this can be crown and inlay, implant crown, night guard, I mean, anything. The next appointment is a try-in.
Yep.
It's not a delivery appointment. It's not a seat appointment. No, it is a try-in. And that is so important because it has to not only be you, that has to be the language of your assistants, of your team members, of your laboratory. Everybody involved has to see this as a try-in. And so I'm setting the expectation that it may take two or three tries. That's usually what I say, two or three tries. Now, all the dentists listening to this, we know 97% of the time we get it on the first try.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe even higher, maybe even 98% of the time, right? But that 2% or 3% are the patients that are going to drive you crazy, the patients that you're going to feel bad about.
Yeah.
Because when I started teaching this with Lightside, I did it to make the patients feel better.
Right.
Okay. What I didn't realize until I got feedback was how this actually made the dentist feel better.
Totally.
Because then they didn't feel bad if the shade was off, if the margin was open, if
Yep.
the contact was too tight and you had to adjust it and now it's too open. Because I always felt terrible about that.
100%. 100%. You make me think of my denture example when I was in practice, young in practice. So for whatever reason, I did a lot of dentures my first couple of years in private practice. And also for whatever reason, I got a lot of patients who came in within a year of having dentures made at these tooth in a day, denture in a day centers, not implant retained, but dentures in a day. And so they came in really frustrated, usually didn't fit well, didn't function well, had a lot of sore spots. You get the idea. So we would go ahead and we were doing the traditional six appointments. And I started to get really frustrated because I noticed people would continue to come in and go, "Am I getting my denture today?" And even some of them would even say, "You know, the other one I got in one day." And I would have to look at them and go, "And why are we here? Because you didn't like this." So what I did was I created this checklist and I did it from a patient-centric perspective. I was like, "We're super excited to be able to, you know, provide you your new set of dentures. These are the steps." And then next to it, I put appointment dates, right? And then I had both of us sign it. And then I went even further. I learned this as I started to use it because even with that, patients would come in and go, "Am I getting my dentures today?" And I'd say, "Oh, you know, I'm so excited that you're excited. Let's go back to it. Let's go back to our checklist. Remember, we're on appointment number three." "Oh yeah, that's right." So then what I did was I even flipped the script and I was even more proactive. And I would say, "Oh, so good to see you, Mrs. Jones. Remember on our checklist, we're on step three. And so this is what we're going to do today, blah, blah, blah." And even if they kind of made or stated something like, "I thought I was going to get it today," it was in understanding of, "Oh yeah, I forgot." Right. And so, you know, knowledge foretold is wisdom. Knowledge aftertold is an excuse, right? And so, what is it that we can do to standardize and make things more predictable? Like, as you said, never use the term insert, never use the term final appointment, always use the term try-in. We're going to make sure that we're all happy with fit and function, blah, blah, blah. We all know the spiel. But don't set ourselves up for failure or, shall we say, frustration, because if we do it in the way that you suggested, you don't lose sleep over is the case going to go in because you know the patient's expecting a quote try-in. Whatever happens, happens. And so I don't know about you, but I like my sleep. So something to
Yeah,
consider.
I love your denture. I love your denture example. I think
Yeah.
it's so good. And what I like about the story is that many people may think that showing them the first time is enough.
Nope.
And that's just like how I say, every patient, hopefully, signs a consent form.
Yeah.
Did they read it?
Yeah.
Maybe, maybe not.
Yeah.
But maybe that was 2 weeks ago. What has happened in 2 weeks in their life?
Absolutely.
Something happened with their job, their dog got hurt, they, got sick one day, they ran out of groceries, they had to go. I mean, all these little things could have happened in their life. Dentistry is not at the top of their list of things to
Absolutely.
remember. So I would say remind them so much to the point of where they even say, "Doc, I know it by now.
Yeah.
Thank you, but I know which appointment we're on."
Absolutely. I'll actually give you another clinical example that happened to me personally. So, in 2019, I fractured number 14. I don't have a carious lesion in my head. I'm very lucky, but I fractured number 14. It required endodontics. And I went and I saw a friend of mine, super capable endodontist, fantastic guy. And he treated me like he treats all his patients, which I'm glad for. And one of the consent forms was talking about vertical fracture or fractures on teeth have a 50 to 70% failure rate. And it got me thinking about how effective that communication style was. And within a year, what do you think happened? It failed, shocker. But did I even think twice about it? No, of course not. First of all, I knew that. But second of all, I was reminded of it. And it just got me thinking about our patients, right? Because I remember his form. There was like a separate, like initial here at that clause, which makes perfect sense because you have to set the expectation. And the expectation was, we're going to give it a try. If it works, great. If it doesn't, that's okay too. And so we went to plan B. So it's important no matter who it is and what it is, you know?
And I love that because it's leaving the decision up to you. You could have said, as the patient at that point, 50%.
That's exactly right.
No, I don't know if I want it to. Maybe I'll just do the extraction now,
That's
right?
exactly right.
It's up to
That's
you.
exactly right.
But 50%, that means 50% of them could last for 10 years or
Exactly.
forever, right?
Exactly.
And
Exactly.
so you leave that up to the patient and you just give them the information, set the expectation, and let them do the let them make the decision. I think so many dentists believe that we have to guarantee everything's gonna last forever. We have to guarantee that everything's gonna be awesome. And what I would push for our dental colleagues to think about is the requirement that you have to make is to set the expectation. That's it.
Yep, totally.
Now, that expectation needs to be about time, number of appointments, discomfort, fees, complications. All of those things have to be included, but what's required to you is to set the expectation. You don't even have to have clinical success.
No.
You just have to set the expectation that I'm going to attempt to do this. This is the probability, maybe, that we've seen in the research or in my hands, what is seen. Like, for example, when you're doing a filling, you're doing a filling. We know every single time you touch a tooth, this has the chance of something happening to the pulp. Now, that can be a week later, that can be 10 years later, right? The important thing is to tell the patient, Mrs. Jones, I'm
Absolutely.
working on, today we're going to do this filling on this upper premolar, and I'm going to do the best I can here. But what we know is every time that, caries is cleaned out, there's heat introduced, there's bacteria, you're chewing on things, you're eating 1,000 meals a day. Over time, sometimes these turn into
Absolutely.
root canals. And we don't know when it could be. It could be a day, it could be a month, a year, 10 years, or never. And so I just want to be very open and honest about you. Now, also, what I would add would be the fees. If that happens and you do need to do a root canal, the current fees are around this time.
Exactly.
Understand that fees can increase over time. Different specialists or general practitioners have different fees, but in this instance, currently it would be around $2,000 for a root canal, and on top of that, may need to have a buildup in a crown, which may be another $2,500, for example. Now, the patient can then always say, "Wait, I didn't know about all that. Like, maybe I don't want to do this filling." And that's up to them, right? It's their mouth. But you want to know what kind of patient this is before you give them the injection,
Totally.
before you prep the tooth, because these are the patients that can drive you crazy and really make you sad about dentistry, make you frustrated with dentistry.
You know, it's another analogy that I absolutely love. And I came to this because I've had knee surgery twice. So, you know, I'd say to patients, listen, we're about to go ahead and we're gonna we've had caries on this tooth, we need to do blah, blah, blah. And this is dental surgery, and we're giving you anesthetics so that you're completely comfortable. So really, you can think about it like any other kind of surgery. So let me ask you a question. If you had surgery on your knee, and then the next day you did jumping jacks on your knee, how do you think your knee would feel? Well, I wouldn't do that. It would hurt. I'm like, well, the mouth is kind of a unique place because I can't stop you from eating, and I would never ask you for that. So
Or breathing or
or
kissing
breathing.
or drinking or
So it's kind of an interesting analogy, and you can take it and run with it for your own, whatever feels comfortable for you. But it's a good, and you don't have to use knee. You could use hand. You could use foot. Whatever. But I have found that it really makes the patients think. Be like, oh my God, holy smokes, I never thought of it that way before. It is dental surgery. That's why we're giving you anesthesia. Like,
Yeah.
you know,
And
so.
most of us have a doctor of dental surgery degree, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. One thing that I think dentists don't set the expectation on enough, and I mentioned this before, is the fees. And I think that a lot of the disgruntled patients or patients that are very angry about dental work has to do with fees. And I think that's why there's a difference between medicine and dentistry. You had brought it up
100%.
on our last discussion, which is when insurance, people don't complain about a $100,000 hospital fee because they paid $1,500. They paid their maximum or whatever it is, right? Now, if they got that $100,000 bill, I'm sure that they would complain, right?
Yeah,
But
100%.
they don't because many of it is covered by insurance. But when you have dentistry, when most of it is out of pocket, insurance doesn't cover anything anymore. I think we have to be very open and honest about this because in a lot of other areas outside of dentistry, people are better at setting these expectations. Like when I was looking at an old car, one of my friends, I was going to buy one of my friend's old cars, and I brought it to my mechanic, and there was something wrong with the transmission. And I brought it to my mechanic, and he said, "Well, it could be the bushings, and if we replace the bushings, that's fairly simple." And I said, "Okay, how much would that cost?" And he said it'd be about $800. Okay. And I said, "Well, what if you tried the bushing and that doesn't fix it?" He said, "Well, then we have to rebuild the transmission." And he said, "That's going to be about 6 grand. And that'll take about, three months to finish." Right.
Wow.
Now, I love that my mechanic set the expectation for me. He was going to try the minimally invasive way of doing it. And if that fixed it, then great.
Yeah,
And if
absolutely.
it didn't, he's setting me up. Basically, it's like the bushing was the filling
Yeah.
and the rebuild of the transmission was the root canal.
Totally, totally.
Right. And he set me up for that. If this doesn't work, then this is what it'll be. And this is the fee. And this is the time that it's going to take.
Well, and I told you the example about one of my brothers this morning. He's retired and he's self-pay. He called up the dentist, asked, they go 4 times a year. They're very compliant. They've had a lot of reconstructive work done. They look amazing. And this was a newer provider because theirs retired. And they asked what the fee was. They were given the fee. Then within 6 months, my sister-in-law goes in and now it's 40% higher. 40%. They didn't say a word. And yes, I verified there was no emails or letters sent. No. And so what do you expect? How do you expect my brother to react? Right? It's like, wait a minute. 5 months
Yeah,
ago, we had this conversation.
the problem in this case is not that they raised their fee.
No.
Problem is that they didn't set the expectation with the patient.
Bingo. Bingo. Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Because then it gives the patient the opportunity to say, "Oh, that's too much for me," or "I don't agree with that," or "I don't want to do that," right?
Yeah, totally.
And it's just like that example I gave with the mechanic that I could always say, "Well, I don't think I'm going to buy this car if I have to put
Totally.
another 6 grand into it potentially."
Totally.
Now, if it's $800, then maybe I would, right? But putting in the 6 grand, I don't know if that's worth it for me.
Yeah, 100%. And
And go
I was
ahead.
just going to say, I want everybody to be listening to this. Kyle's now talking about his car. And so expectations are for patients, they're for teams, they're for your personal life, your social life, your friends, I mean, it's just a people thing. It's not a dental thing, it's a people thing.
Yes, we're applying this today specifically to our niche of dentistry. But I mean, let's now go on and talk about our personal lives. Because I think the people that are good at setting expectations in their personal lives, it flows over to their professional lives.
Oh,
And it can be the
100%.
opposite. So for me, I learned this the hard way in my professional life to where I had to apply it to dentistry, but now it switched over to my personal life.
Oh, 100%.
And so
100%.
one story I have is that my wife has a family member that she loves to talk to. However, this family member is very challenging to get off the phone. This is a person you can't have a 10-minute conversation with. You can't have a 30-minute conversation with. This is a 1-hour conversation. However, my wife really likes to talk to this person. And she said, "I'd really like to talk to her, but I don't have an hour with the kids and with our schedule." And what I said was, "Call her or even text her and say, 'Hey, I've got 20 minutes before I have to leave to pick up the kids or to do this. I'd love to chat. Do you have a second to chat?'" Now, what that's doing is setting the expectation of this is how much time I have. So then at the end, it's very easy to say, "Hey, remember, I only had 20 minutes. I got 5 more minutes left." And it's really easy to do this with meetings too. I mean, with doing
Oh,
this with
yeah.
Zoom meetings, is some people may say, "Hey, can you jump on right now?" I say, "Yeah, I can, but at the top of the hour, I've got another meeting or I've got another patient." But you want to say that at the beginning of the appointment, not at the end, because at the end, they may be in this long discussion and it may be deep and it may be emotional, but it's setting that expectation.
Well, you did that with me today because we're sitting here recording and you need to stop at a given time. Great, let's do it, you know? So I think I already said this, knowledge foretold is wisdom, knowledge aftertold is an excuse. And so, you know, it's the lack of surprise that I think most people are looking for. They don't want to be surprised. They don't want to have their, you know, think it's going to be X and it turns out to be Y. And even if that happens, which it does in life at times, at least we've talked about the fact that it could be Y, like bushings versus transmission, right? So, you know, even you know, things like being late to an appointment, right?
Yeah, so I have an example of that, really, is I was so I go to an orthodontist named Audrey Yoon, and she's about an hour away from my home. But I choose her because I really love the treatment that she does. She's based around airway and all the stuff. She writes research. She's the lead on Stanford sleep team. Because it's an hour away, I leave hopefully with enough time. But this one time, there was a bad accident. Okay, so I left to where I looked at my Waze and it told me it was going to be an hour. And there was an accident, and it ended up that I was going to be 20 minutes late. Okay, which I hate being late.
Me
It
too.
drives me crazy.
Yeah.
But what I did was, as soon as I knew that I was going to be late, I called and said, "Hey, it's Kyle Stanley. My appointment is at 2:30. Right now, my GPS is telling me that I'm going to arrive at 2:50." And in this specific case, they said, "Oh, okay, no problem. We'll have the doctor see another patient before they see you. Yeah, just get here safe." Now, why I did that was because they could have said, "Oh, well, if you're 20 minutes late, I don't think the doctor would be able to see you. So, it may be better that we reschedule." But imagine if I didn't call, I show up 20 minutes late, and they tell me, and I'm like, "I just drove an hour and 20 minutes to be here." Right? And this has happened in my practice before. We've had patients show up like 40 minutes late, and then they're mad that we can't see them. And so you have to set this expectation on both sides, I think. So I was being the patient in this case. I wanted to set the expectation that I'm going to be late. I feel bad about it, but I'm calling you to tell you that I'm going to be late so that it's not a surprise for you. Because if they think I'm coming at 2:30, and then at 2:35, they're going, "Kyle's still not here. 2:40 is still not here. Doctor's waiting. Wait, we have another patient. Should we see the other patient now? Should we wait?" It's like you said, the less surprises people have, the less reactivity they're going to have.
And you know, today it makes with technology, it makes life really easy because, you know, on terms of expectations, like I don't know about you, but nobody ever calls anymore to confirm. It's all by text, right? So what if in the text it says, hey, we have a whatever 24-hour cancellation policy. If for whatever reason you're going to be late, we expect a phone call to best to come, whatever verbiage works for you. But again, it works both ways. And how can we use technology to actually help us with those things? Because as I often say, delegation doesn't have to be a person. It could be a person, process, or instrument,
Our
right? Or
system,
tool,
yeah.
system, right? So,
Yeah, so I have one more story that is outside of dentistry. And I am getting I had plans done to do a retaining wall on one side of my house. We have a slope and we're trying to, make our footprint of our land a little bit larger and use that slope a little more. And I had this great conversation with the contractor. He had done a bunch of research. He basically was giving me the treatment plan. All right, if we bring it over to dentistry. He was telling me fees, timeline, expectations, what could go wrong, what could go right. And I stopped him and said, "I'm so thankful that you're being so open and honest with me." And he was like, "Well, yeah, of course. I mean, what do you mean?" And I said, "Well, he knows I'm a dentist." And he said, it's probably the same in your industry, right? I mean, you really want to set expectations with people and tell them what the unknowns are." So the example that he was giving me in mind is we have to build these pylons and they have to be, I don't know what the exact number was, let's say 10 feet into the bedrock. He said, "But what we don't know is where the bedrock starts. On average, it starts 10 feet below the ground. So that means that we'll have to build a 20-foot long pylon." He said, "But what if it's 16 feet in this specific area? That's 6 more feet of concrete, of rebar, of time, of my subcontractors, and they have to bring out a crane or a machine to do this. That may mean We planned on having it for 2 days here. Now it's 3 days or 4 days to do it. And so the number that he gave me, it was large, and I was kind of surprised at it. And he said, there's a chance it could be 25% less. He said, but I would hate to tell you that number, and then it's 25% more, and you're mad at me. He said, I would rather overestimate, and if it becomes cheaper and less time, then great, we're all happy that it gets done earlier. So he was telling me the expectations were so good. He told me fees, he told me timeline, noise. And what he also told me was what he can't predict. I love that.
That's
He
great.
said there's a tree that we would have to take out that's on the slope. And he said, you know, if we take this tree out and then the slope falls, that could put us back 2 weeks and $15,000. So he said, you know, I'm building in a percentage of error rate and of unknown into my quote. And I just loved it. I felt so taken care of. I felt like it was so honest. The other thing was he came with this with or without you attitude, which was like, listen, I understand this is expensive. I understand that it can take a long time, that it can be annoying for your neighbors. You don't have to do this.
I love that because you're making me think of dentistry and dentists and how they recoil from the word sales. I'm not selling. Yeah, you are, because what you're doing is you're talking about what the problem is, what potentially caused it, what you can do to solve it, and what's the fee to create a resolution. That's sales, whether we like it or not. You can call it whatever you want, but there's nothing wrong with that. And when you do it correctly, like this, everybody walks out feeling good, right?
All right. So I think this is a good discussion. Any last thoughts that you have?
I think really setting expectations has everything to do with taking a step back and thinking to yourself, okay, if I were in their shoes, what would I really understand from this situation? And what am I assuming they know about this given situation, task, or scenario? Because you know what they say about people who assume. So it's the assumption that can really get you into trouble. So what do I know they know? What do I think they know? And what do they need to know would be, I think, the three things I would consider.
Yeah, no, this is great. All right, well, we appreciate all of you for listening to Wellness and Dentistry. If you haven't written us a review, we would love to have a written review from you. Send this to a colleague or a friend that you think would get something out of today's discussion or maybe a past episode. And go to lightsidedentistry.com and click on Lightside Live, and you can join Martin and I live in Southern California in Orange County. We're going to have a great time. We do have limited seating, so make sure you sign up, and we will see you on the next episode of Wellness and Dentistry.
Sounds good. Thank you.